Blog Talk Radio.
Hi, everybody. Thanks for tuning in. This is John Kuzma from EndZoneBlog.com's Across the Middle Show, where we cover all your latest NFL news and action. I guess you can say we cover the Alliance, too, which is the Alliance of American Football, because that's what we're going to be talking about today. And we're going to start with the Birmingham Iron and their clash against the Salt Lake Stallions. The Birmingham Iron battled back from a 9-point deficit and ended up beating the Salt Lake Stallions 12-9. Week 2 didn't go very smoothly for the Birmingham Iron. Tim Lewis's ball club fell behind 9-0 against a tough Salt Lake team, but that didn't prevent the Iron from giving it all they had. Thanks to a shutout in the second half, Birmingham was able to battle back and eventually win the game 12-9. The biggest play came on special teams when Jamar Summer stripped DeMornay Pearson-L and then Shahid Salman recovered it for a touchdown. That play gave the Iron their first lead of the day, and the Stallions couldn't recover. In fact, Salt Lake's kicker Taylor Bertolette missed 3 field goals and prevented his squad from getting things together. Once the final whistle had blown, Luis Perez had thrown for 184 yards, 0 touchdowns, and no interceptions. Trent Richardson also ran hard in the win, racking up 41 yards and 1 touchdown on the ground, while Boniquez Brown had 6 tackles and 1 sack, and Jeremy Falk had 4 tackles and 1 sack. You know, those two guys led the way for the Iron's defense. Overall, you had to appreciate this win because the Birmingham Iron showed how resilient they can be. Things could have got out of hand after going down early, but instead they strapped in and went to work. For the Stallions, it was the exact opposite. To lose after leading for 3.5 quarters is a brutal way to go down. Dennis Erickson has to be disappointed with the outcome of their first two games, but Salt Lake has looked competitive in both of those contests. Once they find a way to close out their opponents, things will start to improve. The top performer for Erickson's group was Craig Schult. The defense end recorded 6 tackles, 3 TFLs, and 2 sacks, proving that he's a force to be reckoned with. I think Carter Schult will probably be in the NFL someday. Joel Bouganon also ran well, racking up 70 yards and 1 touchdown in the loss. The Stallions really need to clean up their passing game if they want to evolve in the next 8 weeks. Austin Allen only had 114 yards, and no Salt Lake receiver had more than 28 receiving yards. So think about that. Not one receiver on that team had more than 30 passing yards. You know, there's high school offenses that can do a better job than that. You know, give Birmingham credit, though. They bounce back, and they get the job done. Every franchise in the AAF is trying to establish themselves right now, and the Iron are off to a good start. So I'm watching this Birmingham Iron game yesterday, and I'm thinking to myself, you know, the Birmingham Iron are pretty good. Not during this game, but just off seeing their first game. So I went into the second game, and I'm thinking, you know, the Birmingham Iron are pretty good, and I expect them to, you know, handle business against Salt Lake. But I also knew that Salt Lake wasn't a pushover because they played pretty tough against Arizona. Arizona is supposed to be one of the best teams in the AAF. So, you know, the Birmingham Iron, they're struggling, you know, as I'm watching this game. They're down 9-0, excuse me. And I'm thinking, you know, the Birmingham Iron aren't as good as I expected them to be. You know, I was thinking maybe they're frauds and they're not that good. They just got that week one win and that shutout in week one, and maybe it was just a good outing for them. Well, you know, halftime approaches in that Birmingham Iron and Salt Lake Stallions game, something changes, and, you know, Birmingham, you know, comes out in the second half, and they put it all together. Really, Jamar Summers makes the play of the game on a punt by Birmingham. He strips the punt returner. The ball goes in the end zone. Another guy for Birmingham jumps on it. And that was just huge because that woke them up. That got them on the board. They actually, I'm pretty sure Birmingham muffed a punt of their own that put the Stallions in really good field position. So for them to also make a special teams play that was similar to the one they gave up earlier in the game, it was just kind of like each side having that play that equaled things out. And from there, we knew it was a ball game. So it was like, could Salt Lake hold off Birmingham or not? We know now that Birmingham just kept fighting, just kept grinding. Eventually, they get Trent Richardson in the end zone for a touchdown. That was good enough to get them to win, only 12 points. They win 12-9. And that's because of how good their defense is. Once again, the Stallions are not the Stallions, the Irons defense, they put together a solid defensive performance. That's 9 points in two games. I think that's probably got to be the best in the league. Tim Lewis is doing an exceptional job with all that. And, Birmingham, they persevered. It was a game where they could have let it get away from them, but somehow they buckled down and put it all together. The next topic, the Arizona Hotshots put up 20 points in the second half to beat the Memphis Express 20-18. The Arizona Hotshots had a very exciting week two matchup, and they actually rallied from a 20-point deficit to beat the Memphis Express 20-18. It was all Memphis in the first half, but eventually the Hotshots came storming back, and quarterback John Wolford was a big reason why. Wolford had two touchdown passes and ignited Arizona after going scoreless in the first two quarters. Rashad Ross and Tim Cook were on the receiving end of those throws, and it was just barely enough to edge out the Express. This one has to hurt for Mike Singletary because they should have been able to pull out the win. Instead, Memphis will fall to 0-2, and that's not how you want to start off when you're a new franchise trying to build up your brand. If there was any good news, is the fact that Christian Hackenberg did improve from his rough week one start. Hackenberg was far from exceptional, but he did throw for 102 yards and avoided turning the ball over. I laugh at 102 yards because that's still not good for quarterback play. Tom Brady threw for 500 yards in a Super Bowl just 2 years ago. So, Hackenberg throws for 100 yards, but it was an improvement for him because he didn't turn the ball over. But anyway, eventually, Hackenberg would also run in a touchdown, so it's clear he's becoming more comfortable in the offense. Zach Stacy was really the star for the Express. He finished the day with 101 yards and one touchdown, which was impressive but somewhat diminished because of how things ended. Defensively, Deshaun Downey had three tackles and two sacks for Arizona. Steven Johnson was also very stout with six tackles, four TFLs, and one forced fumble, which was awesome. DeMarcus Gates was the top guy for Memphis with six tackles and one forced fumble. Channing Stribling also chipped in five tackles and one interception. Without a doubt, the greatest challenge, for these teams is getting things going on the offensive side of the ball. Wolford and Hackenberg both failed to throw for 200 yards, and that's, the key to unlocking each side's potential. Whoever figures it out will greatly improve, and it's not surprising that the Hotshots won because John Wolford was the better quarterback in this matchup. So basically the takeaway from the game is that, the quarterbacks in this league are so valuable because the quarterback play overall has been so bad that if you have a great quarterback, you can potentially just win this whole thing. John Wolford, I think, I'm not sure. I'm pretty sure he had four touchdowns and zero interceptions in that first game. So he had two touchdowns and two interceptions here. So he's up to six touchdowns and two interceptions, I believe. If that's correct, it's not surprising why Arizona is in such good shape. Like I said, quarterbacks are throwing for 100 yards in this league. It's starting to a little bit resemble second-tier football. Like in week one, you could tell it was a little bit there as far as being second-tier football, but it looked so good and so fast that it was, believable that it was good and that we could watch. And this next week, the quarterbacks are struggling so much that it's like whoever's got a great quarterback is going to win this league. because it's just so scarce. Good quarterback play is scarce. And, you know, whoever can be the guy that throws consistently for 250 yards and two touchdowns is going to have a good shot at winning this league. The defenses are strong. They're dominating, which it always takes the offense a little bit to catch up to defense unless you have a really good offensive coordinator. So they're the other thing that's very scarce. You know, I think that's why Steve Spurrier was so good in that week one game for the Orlando Apollos. He's an offensive guru. He's been around the game. He played quarterback himself. I think he played quarterback at Florida. So he's just so far advanced on the offensive side of the ball. And a lot of these coaches in this league seem to be defensive-minded coaches. So really, that's not just an AAF thing. That's an NFL problem too. That's why Sean McVay has ascended so quickly, is because he's one of the top offensive guys. You know, Kyle Shanahan's struggling in San Francisco, but he's another offensive guy who's ascended quickly because he knows how to call the X and O's on the offensive side of the ball. Those guys are crucial in the NFL, and there's even a shortage at the NFL level of guys that can do those things. So it's even more of a problem when you get down to the AAF and there's not a lot of offensive creativity. So I have to go with the Orlando Apollos winning the AAF. I know the Arizona Hotshots are loaded with talent. I think they had the most players that were drafted in the NFL. But you're seeing how much of a chess match football is in this new league, because coaches have so much control in football, and they're the leaders of the team. And if your leadership is not on point, it can destroy you. And because Steve Spurrier has such an offensive gift, you could tell that his concepts were, you know, Division One, highly successful, like in the past. Like, you can tell his skill set was thoroughly refined at, you know, his stops on his coaching journey, South Carolina, Florida. He really has been an offensive innovator for so long, and he understands how, you know, more than just a couple ways how to attack his opponent's weak points and things like that. It just puts Steve Spurrier at a step above everybody else that those other guys are going to have a hard time competing with. Now, obviously, you know, defense wins championships, so if the Apollos defense can't put it together, they're going to have some trouble. But we know Spurrier's offense is going to be fluid, and they're going to be methodical up and down the field. So Arizona, we thought they were going to be similar to that. The gamblers and people that are involved with betting and things like that, the gambling industry, they picked the Arizona Hotshots to win this league just off all the players that they had drafted because they're the most talented roster. But if the Arizona Hotshots are only putting up 20 points and the Orlando Apollos under Steve Spurrier are hanging 30 points, 40 points, it's going to be tough for the Hotshots to pull it out. We'll see what happens. But, you know, just reflecting back on the Birmingham Iron game and the Arizona Hotshots game, both those teams deserve a lot of credit because they rally back and they overcome the odds when they probably should have been down and out. And, you know, resilience is so big in football because – It's a sport that you're tested in. You're tested physically, mentally, all the time. And you have to be teams like the Iron and the Hotshots who can take a shot, take a blow. It's like being a boxer. You got to be able to take a punch and be able to weather the storm and battle back. So far, we know the Hotshots and the Iron can, and that's why both of those teams are 2-0 so far. I'm John Kuzma. Thanks for listening. Check out endzoneblog.com. Also, check out our Instagram and our Twitter. Thank you guys so much. I appreciate it. Have a great day.